Hello, everybody, indeed. Welcome to the Metaverse Podcast. This is episode 48. I'm Jero, joined by ProShizzle.
Hey, what's up?
Smiley.
Hello.
And Skyline.
Howdy-do.
Now, before we get into our main discussion for this episode, I want to announce something that we're going to be doing on October 4th. We are going to be doing Metaverse Live. For the first time ever, the Metaverse Podcast will be live. You'll be able to listen to it and watch as we'll be streaming on YouTube. We'll post some information about it during the week. When the podcast is out, we'll make a post on Metadorn so that you can go straight to metadorn.net and watch it there. And on that show, we will be doing a Q&A. We'll be putting up some things where people can ask questions about anime or about Metadorn. And also, we will be doing a discussion on what shows have come out from the fall 2014 season so far to that point. So do look forward to that next week. It should be exciting and a lot of fun. And our discussion this week on the podcast is about hype and expectations. This is as good a time as any to do it because at Metanorn we just published our fall 2014 anime catalog, and we're a week away from all of these shows debuting. Terraformers has already come out. That had a little bit of hype because people talked about the manga being very good. And so we're in this mode where we're kind of running short on anime. I actually have three on my anime list, just three series. And one of them is going to end tonight when Space Dandy does. But we're in this mode right here where we're anxious for the new Log Horizon. We're anxious for the new Hitsugi no Chaika. We're anxious for Fate Stay Night. There's so many shows, and all the sequels especially were very hyped up for. So on this episode, we're going to talk about hype and managing expectations, because so many times with anime, and you probably see this in our preview notes, we talk about, oh, it has this director, oh, it's by this studio, oh, it's this theme, oh, I've read the manga and I like it. There's a lot of hype built up for these series, and sometimes they don't live up to it. And sometimes I think we set the bar too high for an anime that hasn't even aired an episode yet.
Yeah, that's true, we do. I mean, in general, that a trailer comes out that looks amazing. You know, I don't know the example you're going to use here in a minute. You know, that one had one of the most mind-blowing trailers I've seen at the time. You know, it had the great music, you know, the studio that was coming out was great, you know, everything was going good. You know, you're, like you said, no episodes come out and you already kind of got yourself into that mode. And I think we kind of do it to ourselves too, not just trailers in general, but, you know, Twitter can get you hyped for certain shows.
Yeah.
You know, social media in general can get you hyped for a show.
And I don't want this to sound like, oh, you can't be excited for shows, because that's a very natural reaction. When you look at these shows and you think, oh, this looks good. Oh, this looks good. Oh, they've said good things about this. I don't want it to be like you're wrong for hyping up this anime and being excited. You're allowed to feel what you feel. Nobody can tell you that. I hope that I don't try to tell you that during this episode. But but there is going to be a little bit of an objective nature to this, because there are some shows where we feel like they didn't live up to the hype, or they did live up to the hype. They were immensely popular, or there could have been more. Do you have any other thoughts, Smiley and Sky, before we really get into this topic?
I mean, the way I see it, hype really comes from one main source, always, all the time. It's when some part of an anime production has some prior following, whether it be the source material, a certain director, certain artists, or certain, you know, musicians or stuff like that, or even voice actors. When something like that, part of an anime, has a large following, people tend to get excited because they like those either people or stories or elements, but not the product yet because they have not seen the anime. And so hype arises, and oftentimes it's not what we expect, because... we haven't seen what it is. Well, I mean, they have trailers and previews, sure, but yeah. They're usually cherry picked. Let's face it. If there's a bad trailer, then something even worse is going on.
Right.
Hype is kind of like fashion in that regard, in that it's one person's whim and many other people's imitation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So, what shows that we have seen as being really hyped up have let us down, have not met our expectations, have we look at what the outcome was and maybe thought, this could have been so much better? And what I submit, which was basically the basis for me bringing this topic to this episode, was Guilty Crown. I remember when I was still writing for Metanorn, we previewed this in fall 2012 or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
And everybody was very excited. You had the director of Death Note. You had the writer from Code Geass. You had Hiroyuki Sawano on music. Red Juice with character designs. It all added up. There was this kind of dream team element that came into the anime. And you and Fosh, you mentioned that the trailer was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
And so we get to a point where the hype is so big that you have some people that are kind of against the show because of the hype, and some that are very skeptical of what the show could do. So it comes out, and the story is just, it's kind of a,
it had all those positive elements, but it had the series compositor and one of the script writers that did Seikan no Quasar Part 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the thing is just really a mess. As entertaining as parts of it were, the progression of the story was just nonsensical. It was crazy. It was ridiculous. And I remember there was a meme where it went, I really hated this episode. I can't wait for next week's episode.
Yeah, that was every week on the poster like that. I remember when I reviewed it after episode, I think 3 is the big, you know, WTF moment when characters that have been fighting for, you know, longest time go back to school for some unknown reason because it's what they do.
Yeah.
And after that, the comment section just died. Yeah. It was just like, I was surprised people even stuck around for episode, you know, 4 and 5 and 6 and continue watching or even commenting on the post because I think the only thing saving it for me was making memes and making jokes about it.
Got the zeitgeist early on that this was going to be. I mean, it was barely out of the second station before we realized that this train was going to just keep on going and wreck at the very end.
Right.
So with that, you know, our hype wasn't necessarily the show itself, but, you know, we were watching it just to watch it. Mm-hmm. Just to see what absurdity you came up with next, how much fun we could make of it, how much fun we could have with it. Because, I mean, even though if the show's terrible, you know, we could still be Joel and the robots just poking fun at it every single time we tried.
The enjoyment I got from the series that was how people blogged it. You know, you had some people making parody songs of it every week. Mm-hmm. Draggle was doing that. You had people writing fan fiction. You had people doing all kinds of just silly, unique things with that series.
Yeah.
And because, like you said, it was just, there was nothing left to salvage, so like we have to do something with this.
I think Shinmaru had a blog. He was doing Spot the Dumb or something.
Spot the Dumb, yeah. Every week. Oh, especially when you get to the end, you have like Shu on his segue of, you know, justice or whatever. I was like, those are some pretty funny things. But yeah.
Yeah.
Guilty Crown is definitely the best example for the hype that started.
And I don't even know, I mentioned the idea that, oh, it could have been more. I don't really know if Guilty Crown could have been more. It could have been better. I mean, you could do things with the story, but ultimately, I think it failed to live up to the hype. And I think, I hope I'm not getting too ahead of you guys on examples you have, but I think Noin Amina as a whole kind of falls into that category because there's so many shows, because of the time slot, it's still very popular. We kind of talked about this pre-air about how people still talk about Noin Amina even though it isn't the same as what it was when the time slot started. The quality of anime that we're getting just isn't, in our minds, going to match what it was when it first came out.
Mm-hmm. Right, I mean, that's true.
I feel like the allegedly intended goal of Noin Amina, I never really looked into whether this was legitimate or not, was, you know, to provide some anime that's more accessible to non-hardcore anime fans. You know, something.
They broadcast before the oft-named Otaku O'Clock.
Yeah, so the idea,
people
were thinking that this, you know, would somehow translate to works that were of higher quality, so to speak, which is quite a questionable statement in and of itself. But, you know, to be honest, I mean, a station or just like an airing time slot is whatever it is, you know. They may be trying to reach out to people, but I just feel like the kind of expectations that people had for it, again, that's the hype aspect, obviously, were a bit unrealistic. I mean, it's anime. It's going to end up, in the end, averaging to be just about the same as all other anime, because that's what anime is. And as we can see, more usually of recent times, we're getting anime that people are just bemoaning, like, oh, it's just like all the rest of anime. Well, yeah, because it's all anime.
It's eventually going to go towards that Otaku O'Clock direction anyway, for the most part.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things. One, I think you can see the turn, the exact moment when it turned is when Guilty Ground got picked up for airing on Noin Amina, and then eventually Black Rock Shooter did, where that was the most egregious thing at the time. Like, you're taking this big, popular Vocaloid thing and you're making an anime out of it, a big, you know, big commercial type thing. And I'm forgetting what my other point was, but
I think they also had Samurai Flamenco, didn't they?
Yep.
As a Noin Amina, that was a bomb. That was gonna start off as a guy who's gonna be this superhero. You know, he's gonna be just a normal guy, no powers. But then the shift changes, and it actually is gonna be about that, and no one liked it. So,
yeah. I'm just wondering what people would have really liked to see on there, because, the only way you can kind of try to reach out beyond this main, how I say, mainstream otaku crowd, so to speak, is really to maybe try to adapt works that are, you know, not light novels, not visual novels, not Vocaloid, not based on all these other typical things. I don't know, maybe try adapting Jane Austen novels in anime form. Will that reach out? Is that what you're asking for? I mean, because you can't go historical anymore.
That's only if it's Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, please. Thank you.
I think you've just got to. If they had, I believe when they started, the idea was more mature storylines. Like, I believe Honey and Clover was on, and those were kids that were in college. You can't do high school anime because you're just going to get Anohana, which is very sappy and maybe better quality than most of those shows. But on the whole, kind of like what you've been saying, Smiley, it's anime just like any other.
I don't think the apparent age group in the anime really does anything. I mean, we have seen anime in the past that actually have focused on people in higher education, like university, college, and it can be much the same. I mean, it might be a coincidence that it just so happens to be more quote unquote mature, but I feel like it's kind of an independent factor.
The olden time, but then again, I mean, if you go back to the high school thing, if we're talking about Noitamena, we're going into Silver Spoon 1 and 2. And that I thought was brilliant. I loved those shows.
That is after high school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, true. It's like training for a career for most of these kids.
Well, it was a vocational high school, agricultural high school. So.
Right.
Oh, the other thing I was wanting to think about with Noin Amina was that I think it was the year when Robotics Notes and Psychopass had been announced. They already had the lineup set for the whole year. It had become a franchise instead of just this spot where you hope that they're selecting good anime.
And they're 11 episode, 22 episode. So cool.
Oh, yeah. And I think I've heard that argument is pretty pointless, is that it needed more episodes. But I don't think 11 is very helpful for
So some of them could have easily, you know, like Robotic Knights, it could have been easy 11 episodes. You know, Samurai Flamenco, 11 episodes could have been instead of 22. Yeah. So a lot of shows, they could have benefited from that. But
I mean, you tell the story you set out to tell, and if you know that you've only got 11 weeks to be able to tell it, then that's what you shaped your script towards. That's what you shaped your composition towards. So saying it needed more episodes is kind of really kind of tone deaf.
I thought it was that was most evident in, I feel like we're talking too much about Noin Amino, but it was evident in Kids on the Slope, where that manga was ending at the same time as the anime, and you could see Watanabe and his crew doing all they can to kind of get the important parts of the manga as much as they could in the anime. So do you guys have any other anime that you think were very hyped up that didn't live up to the expectations?
Well, for me, it was even something like, you know, I know when Mikako City Actors, a lot of people had to figure it out, it's going to be great. But yeah, that, for me, another one would probably be like Valve Ray for myself. You know, I kind of hyped myself up. Because it was Sunrise doing something different besides Gundam at the time.
Yeah.
So I was kind of excited to see him do something different, but that didn't do so well for, you know, hype for myself. Because I guess it had a lot of production value, but yeah, nothing really.
Yeah, so surprisingly for me, I mean, I had hype for a show start within like 3 or 4 months after the first season of it ended in April 1st, when it wasn't an April Fool's Day joke, when they announced Chunibyo season 2. And I was really hyped up for that. And then I got the show I got, and I was less than... I mean, it wasn't terrible. It wasn't absolutely horrible, but I felt that it was not... as good as its predecessor.
Yeah, that's what I kind of thought when I had watched the first Chunibyo, and then the second one was coming out. Like, I've already kind of seen as much as I want to see and probably need to see.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess it's popular enough if you want to make more that people watch. But in terms of story content, I don't think there was anything that was really drawing me in any time.
Yeah, well, I mean.
You had Free when that was so hyped.
Mm-hmm.
It all the girls going nuts over that. When the Free was like, what's the trailer? It's not. And it came out as real and just, ugh.
Yeah, for me, watching the first episode was like everyone on certain corners of certain websites or maybe on 4chan's A, they were like, oh, this is Fujiyoshi bait. I'll tell you, I said it at the time, if I was a fan of Fujiyoshi, I'd want my money back because it never really quite delivered.
Right, I know Naga made complaints like that.
I mean, had to stretch the imagination.
Yeah. Well, the last one I mentioned, I'll stop talking about him, is maybe Gargantia. That had a lot of hype because Urobuchi again was tied to it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
when his name's on the list, everyone just goes nuts.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And doesn't usually work all that. I mean, Al No Zero just wrapped up. I think that was kind of you know, after looking back on it.
Mm-hmm.
They just mentioned the fact that he might be thinking about possibly the extreme example of him might be remotely working on another Madoka film, and you know the Anosphere will just go completely berserk.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah, I think that's the next major hype. Although with Gargantia, it didn't crash and burn. It was just kind of like.
It just wasn't as huge as we thought it would be.
Kind of
in
just
respect to what
floated
we got
a little
forward.
Bit for me.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was. I mean, it was okay. I just think it could have done a lot more with it. But
yeah,
that's for me.
I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. Smiley, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, expanding on the Butcher, I mean, oftentimes, going back to my earlier talk about the origin of hype, I mean, you can just pick any large name. The Butcher, you can talk about Yamakan, Shinbo, you can talk about what's his name, Ikuhara Kunihiko, the guy behind Penguin Drum.
Yeah. Penguin
which
Drum
is ambitious, but left much to be desired.
Yeah,
and I mean he's got an upcoming what was it, Yuri Kuma Arashi, something like that. And I mean its tagline is like it's an intellectual fantasy. And I'm sorry if I have to roll my eyes at what happened after Penguin Drum, but like. If you're going to make that claim, please, please do deliver on it, okay?
Oh, God.
Otherwise, you're just going to make an ass of yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know who created the tagline. I sure as hell hope it wasn't him.
Probably.
But it just looks bad. I mean, like...
He's a shameless self-promoter when you get right down to it, so it probably was.
like when you make these kinds of claims, like let's take Yamakan, as I just mentioned, who's going to save anime, and we know he got so much flack for that infamous comment after his multiple failures. Like, just when you have these people who have big names, might or may not have made big statements. I mean, that second part isn't necessary, but like it becomes so easy to become disappointed. For example, we could talk about Evangelion, and I mean, it's huge, and then yep. we get Rebuild, and then the when you movie. Get to Rebuild 3, opinions yeah. become very, very divided. And the main reaction, I think, is that it was not
it's
what people expected.
But people like, say it's okay.
Oh, you know, I was hostile to Rebuild 3. It was not good.
It's just that people like. Well, so the first two films in that series set up this tone of, hey, it's kind of faithful to the original, and then you get a few differences here and there, and then the three, and then everything changes. And first of all, nobody likes change. That's a given, no matter what.
I'm going to walk that back a bit. I like some of the changes they did. I really did. I mean, I thought that they were genuinely interesting. I thought that was yes. pretty ambitious. It's just that the way they framed everything, all the composition on it. I mean, it was basically the middle part was Evangelion gobbledygook, which, you know, it is what it is, bookended by robot fight scenes, which ended up being visual mud after a while.
I thought the mech fight scenes in 3.0 were pretty good, just with how frantic it felt, because there was kind of no, there like you get this feeling of how bad things are when robots are just losing limbs left and right, and they're just going on fighting. It's like, yeah, so I lost an arm, but you know, everything's gone to shit, so I better keep on fighting even though I just lost this arm. You know what the hell? You know, things yeah. getting
they go to the Ikikaji like, school of mech piloting.
It's over the top, but it's done kind of in the right way, because it's not just completely ridiculous violence just because it's there, but like just because the entire world's gone to shit. But like there are so many problems with the changes that were implemented that, I mean, yes, no, people are hostile to change, but the changes that were done, I agree, some of them were quite questionable. I mean, that like Asuka not aging, like what? Okay.
It'll all be explained in the next film, or it won't be. Who cares?
Yeah.
That's a weird thing about owning the Blu-rays of this movie, of the series, is that I bought the first two because I liked it, and I was, you know, knowing that it was going to be four for a while, and I have no interest in buying that third movie. It just was not very entertaining at all. Another example I have is Eureka 7 AO. That was a victim of the previous series being one of those that people loved and lauded. It's one of my favorite series, and the problem with it is that go ahead.
I only got about like 7 or 8 episodes into the original, and so I thought, oh cool, there's a new inversion out, it'll probably explain some things. I might miss out on some things, but it'd be a great way just to enter into the entire thing again and just kind of feel cool about it. And I just kept on watching, and it's like, okay, if you add one more political faction, you know, that factions, I'm going to get angry. And I got angry.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually a very good example of hype with respect to studios, that specifically Bowens in that case.
Right.
We know that their quality, quote-unquote quality, of works as of recent has been less perhaps consistent from what we like to idealize them as few years in the past.
Yeah, they're not the Bones studio they used to be, I think
that's starting to die out, the hype for that studio and the expectations.
Yeah.
Alright, so moving on from the downside of hype, let's talk about the upside of hype. What shows have lived up to its hype? Of course, that's very subjective, but I think Fate Zero very much lived up to its hype. Yeah, a lot of people looking at Ufotable, they did a great job animating Card No Kyokai, so how are they going to do with this TV anime series? the animation quality was just as good. The story was adapted as well as it could have been. And people that are big fans of the Nasuverse and the Fate series, I think they were incredibly satisfied with how it turned out.
Yeah, I think they were.
Did you say Fate Zero was adapted well?
Yeah.
It was original work, wasn't it?
But Urobuchi wrote the story.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
The only thing that comes to my mind is, you know, right off the bat is Attack on Titan, which at the time had a lot of hype around it. Mm-hmm. And it kind of lived up to the hype. You know, I won't say much about the series because it was hit and miss for, you know, some episodes, but there was a lot of hype going on into that when that first aired. So
and continued, and it probably still goes on right now.
Yeah. Because
you still get people talking about it a lot.
Right. There's cosplayers at cons that are like, don't even watch the show, and they're cosplaying it. So that's got to be something, you know. Mm-hmm. If not, you know. I can't think of any other examples right now, but maybe
I think this one's kind of easy, but Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Yeah,
people
Brotherhood.
Had already seen the 2003 series, and even as that series had to deviate from the manga at some point, people still liked the TV anime. So coming into an anime knowing that you're going to get, I believe her name is Hiromi Arakawa, the mangaka, you're going to get her version of Full Metal Alchemist in full, was really interesting, and that stands as one of my all-time favorite animes. I thought, especially after it splits off from where the 2003 version sort of splits off from the manga, it was just completely sensational, in my opinion.
Yeah. I guess an example I'll use probably meant Railgun S. You know, the first season was pretty good. A lot of good action. A lot of people liked the characters, but, you know, maybe the first half of it, Railgun S. Second half, not so much. But.
Yeah, that turned out to be much better than I thought it would be. Or no, actually, I had kind of expected something because of reading the plot details of it. I was like, okay, you know, this could be pretty good. I wasn't that crazy about the first Railgun series, but then S ended up becoming my favorite of anything Railed X.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Sky?
I'll go along with Railgun S. That was, even though I felt that it got a bit long in the tooth and repetition, I genuinely enjoyed all the stories around it. You know, part of enjoying Railgun is the fact that, you know, the action scenes are meant to be exclamation points. You're more supposed to be lulled into that sense of that you know, comedy, the drama, the slice of life aspects of it. So I knew I was going to get that going into Railgun S because that was pretty much what made for me, the original series, as good as I enjoyed it. So, you know, coming into the second one, that hype going into it, I knew exactly what I was getting.
Yeah.
Smile.
Yeah, I can't really add to the list. I mean, the biggest one that stands out in my mind is Fate Zero. So I think really what happens in these cases is when you actually have a certain element of this production that's good at something, and they do that thing, and they're good at it. For example, Ufotable is just absolutely gorgeous with their animation and their fighting scenes, and they're good at it, they do it well, and it just so happens that the source material had a pretty good story as well. Then it all comes together. I mean, it kind of has a bit of luck to it, I feel, because, yeah, you have the studio that's good at doing this, and then the rest of what they adapt has to also have some redeemable qualities, and then when that happens, which is the luck factor, then you know you have the show that does meet your expectations and you're happy for it. So yeah, that's my take on that.
I would also add Death Note to that mix.
That was a while ago.
Yeah. All right, so we've talked about shows that we thought about that lived up to the hype and some that didn't. Let's take a look at the actual process of hype. How can you manage expectations and not get too crazy? And what do you think do you think there's a line that really shouldn't be crossed? Because I've seen people that preview these shows and some go as far as to say that they think it might be a scathing social commentary. And I think that's too much to expect from an anime, is expecting very deep plots and stories and things that are, you know, saying things about real life, because at the end of the day, it's a piece of entertainment.
Yeah, when you have someone that's going to come out and basically say this is a scathing piece of social commentary, they will come out and say this is a scathing piece of social commentary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we mentioned Penguin Chum earlier. He had in interviews, he had very pointed things that he wanted to discuss about what was happening in 1995 in Japan, about what was happening with the sarin gas attacks and how it set people apart. So he very much wanted to explore that and did.
Mm-hmm.
And he made no bones about it. That's exactly what he was doing.
Mm-hmm. Although that's in the case where I feel like he set it up for people to think that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if there's some shows, you could probably say like Terror in Resonance, for example.
Yeah, that was saying.
Yeah.
About terrorism.
Mm-hmm. Right, which is a subject that's always in the news. Mm-hmm. Like, it's always in the news.
And we kind of had some of these non-terrorist terrorists in a way. I mean, even though strictly speaking, they were, but they didn't cost any human life, which, that can only exist in a fantasy world.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the concept of terrorism in itself is so ridiculously subjective.
Mm,
it's basically people with an agenda that is not your agenda, and because you're in charge, you call them terrorists. So, I mean, who's really wrong here? I don't know. Maybe everyone's wrong, but that doesn't really tell us anything. So,
school bullies are a bunch of terrorists.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
Suck it up, kid.
Yeah.
I didn't get what I wanted for lunch. That's terrorists.
Yeah, the way I see it, there is a very definite line that you should not cross in terms of hype. When you start telling people that this is how a show either will be or should be, you start saying, yeah, you know, I've seen the previews. I've read the synopsis. I've been doing my research or homework or whatever on the show. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. I predict the show is going to be like this, and it's going to be just absolutely fantastic and glorious. And when you say that, and there's really nothing to back it up, again, like when you have someone who sets it up like Ikuhara and he proclaims it's going to be like that, that's okay, because that's real. That's actually been supposedly confirmed by the source, but like when you make this up, so to speak, yourself, or you conjecture yourself, that's when you've crossed the line and you start believing that something will happen, and whether or not it will happen is a toss-up for all you know. I mean, I myself like to kind of predict things in, say, ongoing shows based on just what we've seen in the past and tropes and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But that's an ongoing show. You've got previous episodes, so to speak, to go off of. But when you have some work, I mean, maybe you could conjecture based on the source material if it exists. But oftentimes, the adaptation is a work in and of itself. You cannot really compare it to even the source material a lot of times. That's why people get
disappointed. Right, that's majority.
Yeah. So when you come into that with this mindset and there is no previous examples of what it should be like, then you can get disappointed. Because you are basing your thoughts on nothing.
Because you give the people that, read manga, when the adaptation comes out of a manga, this one is A Comic Got Killed. I've read that, it's most of that, I know what happens. Mm-hmm. It's like, I get hyped for that too, but it's like, even people that read the novels, like, I don't want to bash Square Online, but that gets, the novel gets worshipped, like it's the Bible. People just love it because they think it's the greatest thing ever written, and when it's actually the anime version comes out, they get mad. So those people kind of don't manage their excitement. I mean, they're kind of pushing it on everyone else too. Like, oh, this is going to be great. And they're like, they get you excited, and it's like, that doesn't really help.
But with light novels,
my hook, same thing.
I generally think that that on light novels, people should start dialing back their expectations even on those.
Exactly.
Because when you get right down to it, I mean, oh my goodness, they're about the same quality that the pulps were back in the 20s and the 30s, the same. it's the exact same mindset for writing it when you get right down to it. Put ink on paper, for crying out loud, get it out weekly, get it out monthly, get it out.
Yeah, I kind of really learned that with, this might sound odd, with Freezing, which isn't really that even good of a manga anyway.
Right.
But you're talking about, people do like the manga, and I think the way the manga tells that story,
I don't know about that.
Is at least better than the way the anime told it. But when I was blogging that series, I made it a point not to get all preachy about the manga did this and it makes no sense why they're doing this here. I just kind of graded the anime on what the anime was.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. That's. I mean, that's the way I think people should do it. That's the way to manage the hype too.
And that's
if you're blogging something or reviewing or talking about it.
I mean,
you've read the novel. I mean, you've read books for it, so it's like, you can. I don't know. I was want to ask the question, like, has anyone ever you read a comment or something that kind of killed your hype for a show because of what they said?
Oh yeah, I always think just be excited that your thing that you read that was just words or in moving pictures. Like, isn't that
with music and acting and everything?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, color.
It's easy for us to say that you should not expect more, but I mean, in practice, in reality, we do want the adaptation to be exactly what our experience of the source material is, even though we might realize that this is an unrealistic expectation at some times. Lines have to be drawn, things have to be cut. Decisions have to be made. Things might have to be rearranged, possibly rewritten, or even completely new endings created. You know,
dwarves surfing on rivers of gold.
I mean, especially if you want to, you know, you're alone in that fandom. Like, you know, a lot of people don't like this series, so you want more people to like it. So that's what I think you get. You want that to happen, so you can actually talk to people about certain shows. And yeah, I know Howie likes, you know, the light novel to DxD. Which I've never read. He likes that, so I mean, it's like, you know, I want to like get into that too, so we can actually have a conversation about it. But you know, this. But I think for managing it, for me, I would just look at like studios. Don't give them so much praise as I used to. Sunrise is a big example. You know, they produce Gundam. I love Gundam as much as I do. Sunrise can put out some terrible Gundam. You know, they put out Gundam Age, which was just garbage.
Oh no.
So I mean, I think that's how I manage it with me. I don't look at studios the way I used to anymore, like Bones.
Yeah. I think we used to put a whole lot of stock into that. And then as we've become doing these previews, more educated with these are the writers and directors and stuff, because, you know, we're anime fans who are blogging these shows and talking about them. We want
to
know
a
little more about them than your common anime fan would look at. That sounds insulting for some reason. I apologize in advance. But you sort of realize that I'm speaking just from experience of hyping shows and then getting burned on them, like Guilty Crown, for example. That you shouldn't expect the world of a show before you've seen an episode.
Yeah,
right. At least, you know, that's why I get things, the 3-episode rule thing. I still apply it now, and you know, some shows can, you know, do a good, you know, good 4th episode. So sometimes you have to invest a little longer than 3.
Oh man, but, yeah.
Heck, I'm thinking about going in the opposite direction. This season, I'm thinking about experimenting with a 1-episode rule.
Oh, man, really?
If that episode ends and I'm not, like, I'm not going to say, like, you know, the highest I can possibly expect is I'm champing at the bit for the next one, you know?
And not well, that's going to happen for you if they introduce a lolly in the next episode. So.
Yeah, I have said time and time again, a lowly, see what you did there? A lowly does not a show make.
Same thing.
Yeah, well, see, I mean, going off of what Fosh said, there are definitely shows that take way more than 3 episodes to start growing on you. And maybe at that point, you've just been desensitized to it. I'm not sure if that's the case.
I might have.
At this point, this season, we got Argivolon, or as I like to call it, Argivolon.
Yeah, I'm still watching that.
I'm watching that too. There's also M3, which I'm still watching.
Same here.
See, those shows, They definitely took more than 3 episodes to start possibly, you know, developing and becoming better than what they were.
Yeah, you have to get to the mind screw moments when it's like, what?
Think about the hell? My computer.
Argivolon, that first episode was atrocious. if Skyline over there gives it the 1-episode rule, which you might have actually done, I'm not sure if you did that.
I think he gave the, actually, gave the no episode rule.
15, like, 15 John, minutes. Right there. Because that episode was so bad.
It's like 2-level root character design. Oh, Mo's not here. Screw it. I'm done. I can't watch it. I'm dead.
I actually just thought of another show that didn't live up to the hype, in my opinion, and that's Code Geass R2.
Damn it, Rollo.
Yeah. That's
what I want to say. Rollo.
The way that season started really messed up kind of all of Code Geass for me, because the first season, it was that thing where they were kind of doing a bit of what everybody wanted. They had these really great stories and these really interesting characters, and they even had Mecha in there and some fan service here there. And season one was generally well received, but then 2 came along, and the story, it ended well, but yeah, everything leading up to it just wasn't up to par.
That reminds me of Gundam 00. You know, they did the first season. Mm-hmm. Second season comes out, it's just no one liked it. Just rough.
Yeah.
All right, so instead of going back even further to look for more shows that about hype, let's look ahead a little bit at Fall 14. We have these sequels coming out. We have Log Horizon, which we know now is going to be done by Studio Dean instead of Satellite. Hitsugi no Chaika 2, Avenging Battle. We have the next Psychopass series. Mushishi's coming out. There's Gundam Build Fighters Try. And I think there's another sequel I'm missing.
Oh, Wicross is on there.
Oh, yeah, Wicross.
Wicross.
Wicross, Fred.
Whatever.
We got to practice that. We got to practice that for the podcast, dude.
And there's a couple more, but yeah, you said there's a lot of sequels. And like I just mentioned, you know, Gundam 00 had its second season. It wasn't good. So, I mean, expectation of some of these sequels is probably going to be very high. Especially some of that, you know, like Log Horizon, which, and, you know, Wicross was really high on there. I mean, for me, anyway, the first half.
I just want to, like, say, the truth is, a lot of the time, sequels will inevitably disappoint, unless it's that weird thing like Nasuverse, where the prequel came next. And Fate Stay Night technically was first in our chronology, in our timeline. But like, just if you look at almost any series, most of the time, a continuation, a second season, maybe even the third season, if that happens for some reason, most of the time they will be either of equal or shorter length. Okay, like they will get shorter because it's starting to die off. There is only one notable exception to this rule, and that's actually K-On. It's the only one that actually got longer, surprisingly. So
yeah, well, if you look at back at JC staff, they had, you know, Shannon, they had Boost to Zero. All seasons are, I think, 20 something episodes long.
Yeah, well, they can be equal, but in general, they will be equal or of shorter length.
Because... Right, I mean, they start running out of, you can see where they start running out of ideas. You see where, you know, the ball stops rolling. You're like, okay, I see where, you know, like Kyoani, they don't do a third season or anything because of that reason, I think.
They
ran out of ideas, you know, it's like, and they got to do a movie.
People start accusing them of milking for money, so there's that too, I guess. Although they might not care about that.
And I think of the examples I've mentioned, Psychopass is the only one that's original content. There was no manga or light novel before that, so that's the one where you look at Log Horizon and Chaika, they're just continuing the story from the manga or the light novel. So
I know Cross is original too.
That's a good point.
That's not really.
But you say, a card game. I don't know if we can count that.
I mean, it's a card game.
But... you know, I've still looked into some of the background for the card game. It's still going fairly strong. It's probably a medium weight in a very large market to this day. But, you know, just looking back at the first season, again, they made very little into the actual card game. This was a completely different beast that they were showing in the anime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With that, I'm going to say Build Fighters is, you know, fun for me because I like Gundam. But that's based off just model kits. I mean, little legit model kits. And they fight with them. So, I mean, a lot of people don't really... You know, season one wasn't really real well received. So I'm kind of hoping season two can maybe do something. But
it had a cult following, that's for sure.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I definitely
like it. And as for new stuff, there's Amagi Brilliant Park. The hype there could come from Kyo Annie working on it. Seven Deadly Sins, that's a very popular manga that's a lot of people are talking about. Same for Terraformers. I don't know about World Trigger. Parasite, Kiseiju, Sei no Kakuritsu. Gundam G no Reconquista, because it's a brand new Gundam series. And then Ino Battle Within Everyday Life, because Trigger, who just came fresh off of Kill la Kill, are going to make this series. And talking about that Ino Battle one, when you see the story in the trailer, it looks so ordinary to me.
Yeah.
That just because it's Trigger, you can't... I was joking with these guys at Animazement when I went to see the Studio Trigger guys. people would say, thank you, Bass Trigger, for saving anime with Kill la Kill. And now they're coming out with something that just doesn't really look even that interesting. Just it looks very trite.
This is not an Amashi.
Their style stuff either.
this is not an Amashi work, by the way. This is by the guy that wrote Gurren Lagann.
Yeah, this is like, hey, and they're doing something different. I mean, especially the Trigger, we know we're so used to their kind of style designs and stuff. This is vastly different.
I'm smelling a trap of some sort, because it seemed way too generic for them to even consider doing, even for a paycheck. When you get right down to it, this just looks so generic that it's just like, wow, what are they going to build up from this? So I have some hype for this, because I want to expect the unexpected, just to see what they could do from some fairly insipid looking building blocks.
Yeah, I mean, now, as you mentioned yourself, now we're hyping and we're trying to think about what this show could be based on. Based on our previous expectations from the guy who's done Gurren Lagann. I mean, my take on this, I don't know if we can talk about this, but basically I'm signed on for this show. But my take on that is I kind of looked at the characters and their powers, and I'm looking at this, and this guy can create fire, and then all the girls can have these weird ass super OP powers, like bring things into creation or like restore things to their original form. I'm just like, there's this guy with this weak ass ability to create fire, and then all these girls can do crazy stuff, and it just looks to me like it's going to attempt to be funny, because you got this really, really weak sauce guy, to be honest, compared to the girls, and it sounds like he's the one who wants to be all Chunibyo. You know, he wants to use his powers for justice or something, based on preview, and then the girls are like, no, you're just a crazy guy. And then
like Toma's power, if you get down to it, it's not really that great. All the people around him have these great powers.
I can potentially see the show maybe taking itself a little too seriously. Again, I'm basing this off nothing, but like their powers are pretty crazy. I can see some crazy shit happening with what they can do, and then maybe something goes wrong. One of them takes it a little too far or something, or maybe I highly doubt an actual villain will show up. I mean, that's what the show is about. Like, they have an ordinary life. Nothing's happening. And if anything, they will cause the problems, is my guess. Again, I'm speculating on nothing. But as far as hype goes, I mean, I'm just there because of Trigger. Yes, I know. I said we shouldn't base things on studios, but I am curious. I'm not saying Trigger's going to save anime with this. It's not like they even saved it with Kill la Kill. Some people will hate me for that, but I am curious to see how they'll take this. It's definitely not what we expect from them. Sure.
I guess in this case, it's as long as it's fun, that's enough.
Yeah, this is the thing. I think it will start off funny, and then it'll start taking itself a little too seriously. Yeah, that's my speculation.
You go back to our basics of expectations, is that for 22 minutes, I expect two fairly good songs and to not work for 22 minutes. That's where we should start. We should start down there at that very base level and then build our expectations up from there.
Yeah, I was going to say that openings can get you kind of get excited too,
because I mean, if at the end of the episode you say I could have filed my nails,
I was gonna on this list we have here, I got my Brilliant Park. I know a lot of people that are Full Metal Panic fans are probably gonna watch this looking for a cameo appearance.
Yeah, it's just once I could, that's it.
I know that, but I mean, when you see a character that's from a different show, you don't think, oh, they might do a reference. You know, it's something I'm getting in on.
I thought
we saw Tokyo ESP, and we know what happened to that.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that people watching Full Metal, that watching this, are going to be furious that Full Metal Panic isn't being made.
That too.
They already are.
Yeah.
They always are. Every time a Keanu and a show gets announced, like, is it Full Metal Panic? Nope, not interested. I'm like, oh.
Mm-hmm. Same thing with Hakuri.
All that said, I think there's one show that is very safe to say it's going to live up to hype, because it's built such a pedigree with its viewers that there's really little way I think it could do wrong, and that's Mushishi. It was already intended to be a 24-episode series anyway, production issues were the only reason why it was cut to 10, and then we had the specials in August. But that show, even as old as the first series was back in 2005, it was so beloved by the people that watched it, myself included, that and you know, Mushishi Sokusho didn't disappoint, that I think that's one where you can expect the similar nature of that anime in the stories that they'll tell, that you would expect to enjoy it and have an interesting look into those people's lives and how Mushi have affected them.
Yeah, it's kind of like Natsume's Book of Friends, where each, I mean, that had four seasons, right? I think?
Yes.
Roughly four, yeah.
And I mean, I believe each was just as long as the previous, so it didn't get shorter. I mean, well, it started as a 13 core, so you can't really get shorter than that, otherwise you're having serious problems. But I mean, each was just as long as the previous, and it was just as well received all around, because it basically brought to you what you came to expect, and it did it very successfully, very consistently as well. That's the good thing about it, is just all around, all four seasons, same level of quality all the way through.
Yeah, because we get down to it, it's just basically Demon of the Week. You know,
Battle of the Week. You can very easily summarize it as that.
Yeah, pretty much. And that sounds kind of eh. But when you watch it, like you said, it's different.
Yeah, you mentioned how different seasons come into play. I was thinking, SYD. And SYD Bleat. But between that, they had 8 OVAs that were released in the manga volumes and stuff like that. All of them, by the way, which are awesome, because I love that franchise.
Yeah, it's really there, pretty good.
All right. So is there anything else you want to contribute before I sign us off here?
Nope, just hoping that, these Gundams do real well.
Battle!
Yeah, that's... And Lockheiser, I don't want it to stomp Sora online. Just
oh, boy. Oh, no.
The bar's been set low.
At this point, well, okay, use Sora online. It's like...
I knew it was gonna do that.
All right, I guess Metanorn's been confirmed for elitists, and
shots fired. Watch out!
Yeah, right.
I can just feel Highway just glaring at me through the, wherever he's sitting right now.
I'm just still thinking we could be first amongst equals. How's that? Would that be better? Not so elitist or anything like that.
First amongst equals.
No, I gotta adjust my monocle first.
you got your top hat on straight.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, good.
I'm not even wearing pants. I don't know what you're talking about.
Keep it classy, right? You got your top hat, your monocle, pants.
My cane, I'll beat people with it. The same thing Bad Bell Lock Horizon, I'll beat them with it.
Exactly.
Lock Horizon, actually people are starting to riff on that because of the move to Studio Ghibli. And they're primarily riffing on the visual changes, which, I've looked at it, it's not atrocious. It's quite challenging to say that they moved already.
I will say even season one doesn't have the best artwork in Jado.
Yeah, it was very simple. They kept it very simple, didn't they?
Yeah.
In fact,
but the good thing is they got the database coming back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very subtle difference in art style too. I mean, it's visually noticeable, but like the only difference is that the first season everything was very round and soft, and now they're adding a few angles and the lines are a little more defined. Yeah. That's about it. Yeah.
It's like not like they got an expansion. They got a new graphic engine. Okay?
Yeah, it's not like all of a sudden Serica is a straight up moe blob or anything like that.
Yeah, it's not like they went full blown CGI. Looks like Serica. They didn't go rotoscope Akunohana style. They didn't full CGI. So, I mean, it's better than nothing.
That's probably the people being averse to change thing at work as usual.
Yeah.
I think it's a thing where you hear about it and you think, oh, that's kind of weird, and then you see that the same director's on. Same music composer, and you see these images, it's going to be fine. It'll be the same. We'll just continue to watch it and enjoy it, or not enjoy it as we have been. But I think we all hope that all of these shows live up to their level of hype.
Certainly. I think when you get to the point where you start hoping that a show does poorly, is when you reach that elitist point when you start feeling like you don't want to watch anime, and then maybe you should take a break for a while to rethink your life choices.
I bet there are times where people do that, where they kind of drop a show and they're like, Man, I hope.
Yeah, but they don't hate. Like before, before the show airs, they don't. I sure hope they don't wish that the show does poorly. Like, ha, I want to see the show fail. Like, that's some kind of poisonous attitude.
I think that's his confirmation bias. They just want to know, like, I was right.
Yeah, I've people on YouTube do that, especially the people that love a certain manga. They're praising the hell of it. Like, I know someone who loves the manga for Hunter x Hunter. Mm-hmm. And when the anime came out, he was like, "All you guys are just running on the hype train." Because I'm like, whatever. That manga's old. Don't get mad at the anime. Yeah. It brings in new fans. I can't stand that when people do that.
Yeah. And we're having fun riding the train. Why don't you come on board and have some fun with us, man? You know, that's what I usually feel like saying to people on that. Just shop and have some fun, man.
Yeah, and I hope that the kids from Rail Wars are not on that train.
Oh, gosh, no.
We better stop.
Well, if you are, you better wish that you were a princess or some sort of female, and then you'll be saved by the MC.
I'd rather be in Attack on Titan than live in the real world.
I don't know about that.
That's how much I don't like it.
That is pretty bad. All right, so on that has been Metaverse episode 48. Thank you so much for listening. Metanor.net's the site. We got the preview there. Terraformers, I imagine an impressions post of that will be out sometime soon. And then by Thursday, October 2nd, is when the season will really kick into gear and people will be posting impressions on a bunch of these new shows. Fosh and I are going to be talking about Log Horizon and whoever else is on the team is interested in joining. We promised that we won't bash Sword Art Online.
I know
how annoying that would get.
I won't do that. We did pretty good in the first season, so I wouldn't be too worried about it.
We did kind of cut loose there at the end, but...
But, I mean, I feel like the comparisons have been made already in season one. There's no need to beat that dead horse.
Mm-hmm.
No, that horse needs to be beaten some more. It's still got life in it.
That horse needs to be beaten.
Oh, yeah.
Tagline for the podcast.
Too much life in it. Too much life in it.
There's your tagline for the podcast.
All right. Thank you, Fosh. And, I guess on that note, we're going to sign off. For Fosh, for Smiley, for Skyline, I'm Jero. We will see you next time on Metaverse. ホームに一人